Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
As someone who has devoted his professional life to helping educate kids, Dev Rosenberg knows a thing or two about public education in North Carolina, and thankfully he's not shy about sharing what he knows. The veteran teacher at Rogers Hur Middle School in Durham is a passionate and outspoken advocate for public education and a critic of recent state policy decisions that have caused our state to abandon its former position as a national leader. Rosenberg was in Raleigh this past Wednesday for the massive Rally for Respect that took place in and around the state legislature, and he was kind enough to join us in studio to discuss the event and the kind of policy changes he hopes it will spur.
Well, Dev Rosenberg, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're a veteran school teacher teaching for 18 years in North Carolina's public schools. You're at Rogers Hur Middle School in Durham. You're here today in Raleigh as we record this for the big Rally for Respect. Talk to us a little bit about why you're here and what's going on.
I drove out to Raleigh this morning to be with my colleagues throughout the state. We've come together because we want to raise awareness about the problems, the very real problems that we face every day as a consequence of underfunding, consistent underfunding. You know, resources just have been cut and cut to the bone, I guess, going back since the financial crisis in 2008. You know, our pay was frozen back then. Really, since the Republicans took over the legislature, they just keep cutting the budget. Mm-hmm. You know, and the budget does affect our pay, but it also affects school resources, like textbooks and technology and just having enough teachers.
People have it in their heads that this is all about pay. And while pay is important, North Carolina's pay continues for teachers has declined. When you adjust it for inflation and compare it to what people make in the private sector with a similar education. But it is a much bigger issue than just what teachers are paid. It's how many teachers there are. It's what they have to work with every day.
The thing is, if we can't pay our teachers a living wage, honestly, in many cases, we have teachers who have to have second jobs, especially single parents. Our insurance has gone up, and you know, there's this 80-20 plan and a 70-30 plan. There didn't used to be a 70-30 plan. It used to be automatically 80-20. And every single year, any teacher can tell you that there is an inordinate number of hoops and clicks that you have to do on a website and answer questions correctly and just go through the website with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that you've done everything correctly, because if you don't, you are going to end up with a 70-30 plan and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. And that happens a lot, and you just know that that's part of how they cut costs, because a lot of people accidentally end up on the 70-30
plan. The bottom line is that the salary increases that some teachers have seen, a lot of that's just been eaten up by paying more for healthcare.
So. Yes, and with inflation.
Right.
You know, one thing that I would like to talk about specifically is our school counselors,
yeah,
and our school psychologists, our school nurses. Because this isn't just about pay, I also want to address the very real issue of the fact that we don't have enough school counselors, we don't have enough school nurses, school psychologists, people who care for our students mentally and physically are having to go to different schools throughout the week. There aren't enough of them. I love our school nurse. She's mostly funded by the Department of Health, and she can only be at our school like, you know, a couple days a week, and we're lucky to have her more than one day a week.
Right.
When we really, truly, I mean, when you were a kid, was there not a school nurse there every day?
And talk about the issue of the school choice debate. Is, you're a public school teacher, a traditional public school teacher. Obviously, there's a big push from folks who have use this term choice to talk about other privatization options for our public schools. You know, the idea was that, for instance, charters were going to be these incubators of innovation, that we're going to have all these incredible, we're going to loosen the reins on these charter schools, and then those ideas would filter back into the traditional public schools and there'd be all these wonderful benefits. Have you seen that at all in your experience in Durham?
No. It's not like there's some new technology in teaching that makes reading instruction better. There's a lot of great literature and peer-reviewed studies about what works in education, and truly what works has not changed a lot since the 1970s, when there was probably about the peak in terms of research. Collaborative learning works. Communication, problem solving.
Love and attention, I presume.
That's also really good. That's a novel idea. Those things work, and the public schools can and will and do provide that to the extent that they're allowed. There's a lot of pressure with respect to testing and things like that. But I'm not anti-charter. I just want to change the rules a little bit so our charters have the same kind of accountability. Because we have charters that are doing good things.
Sure.
I do know of them. But as I know it, there are more charter schools in my county, in Durham County, than any other county in North Carolina. And most of them aren't good. Most of them aren't.
Clearly hasn't had a big impact on Rogers Her Middle School. You haven't had a lot of innovative ideas that have percolated through the school as a result of having some charters.
Absolutely not. And I'm glad you said that, because it's not like the charters are breaking down our door saying, hey, check out all this great stuff we're doing, y'all. Running a school is hard, incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Heck, running a classroom is incredibly hard. I don't think these charter schools are running on easy street at all. They're fighting to stay alive. I know that they don't get quite as much funding as we do, but I think they do have a lot more flexibility in terms of raising money. And, of course, they can pay their teachers whatever they want to, so they can pocket extra money. I'm talking about the people who run the charter schools, not the people who work at them, the owners and also the charter management organizations that these charter schools...
In some instances, yeah.
Exactly. There's a whole industry and a whole layer on top that a lot of people don't know or think about, where they're the people who own the land and the charter schools have to pay them rent.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like McDonald's. You just... set out these franchises and you're actually a real estate, a commercial real estate company, and there's a lot of money in that. So charter schools, in my opinion, are just a really great way to get taxpayer money and run it through a lot of different systems and then hide it.
One last question as we get to the end of our time together here is, so what's your vision? The rally is happening this week. What do you hope the General Assembly will do in 2018? If you could actually push them to go in the direction that you feel comfortable with, what would you urge the state lawmakers to do this session?
I would want to bring back teacher assistance in kindergarten through third grade. I want to get pre-K for every family that wants it. And... how about teaching fellows, a very successful program? I want to bring that back. Our teacher pay should be at least the national average, so we need to bring that up within, say, 4 years. And not just teachers, but teacher assistants, all our classified employees. There's also a national average there that we don't hear much about.
Drivers and custodians.
Yes, absolutely. What we often refer to as classified versus certified employees, they also, their pay needs to go up to the national average. We need to restore steps, you know, those cost of living increases, things do cost more than they used to. And that's why we used to have pay increases. And our veteran teachers, I don't consider myself a veteran because I'm not in for what I have decided is 20 years.
Only
in for 18 yet. So maybe I'm more of like a vintage or a retro teacher. But as I think most of us know, the pay calendar, the pay scale has been flattened at basically 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it seems like an obvious slap in the face to our veteran teachers to say, you should just get out now.
Yeah.
And I think that the legislators are saying, we don't want to pay for your pensions.
Right.
And that's not acceptable to us. No, we got into this because we want to make a positive impact in our community and help kids and help the next generation. And part of that contract is you pay us a decent amount of money and you give us a decent healthcare package and you give us a decent pension, something that is a good thing that a lot of people have forgotten is a thing. And honestly, wouldn't you like a pension? Wouldn't that be nice? Why not? Why doesn't every worker deserve a pension after putting in 30 years, for crying out loud?
Well, it seems like a very reasonable list to me. I'm sure there are even more items on it, but I thank you for your service to our state. We hope for a very successful legislative session. We hope they were listening to the teachers who gathered this week, and we hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks for being with us, Doug.
Thank you so much, Rob. This has been a real pleasure.
Well, that's it for this week's edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out on the web and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, I'm Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.